Do you feel continually let down by modern media? Do you miss the good old days, back when all that mattered was a good story and not some agenda? Do you have ambitions of picking up a pen and pad and fighting the creative war yourself? Then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I'm going to talk to a creator who said enough is enough and started making the content they wished was out there. Join us as we discuss the ups and downs of the self-publishing world. We want to help empower you to join the Iron Age of media. Welcome to Iron Age Marketing. Welcome to another episode of the Iron Age Marketing Podcast. I am Nikki P here with our today's guest, Andronicus, or Travis. How are we doing today, boss?
Doing all right, doing all right. How's your day going?
It's a day. They pile on top of each other a little bit. So, today we're going to talk to Travis about the process of getting a book made. More importantly, starting from the idea of wanting to create a book at all. And we're going to just see what path he walked in his journey. So why don't you first tell us a little bit about the book and why this is what you wanted to create and why you started here?
Yeah, so the book I published, it's called Revenge and Its Discontents, My Journey Through the Iliad. The title of the book is obviously a play on Sigmund Freud's Civilization and Its Discontents. And I titled it because revenge is a big theme of the Iliad. The Iliad is about the anger of Achilles and basically the destruction that it wrought in the midst of the Trojan War. And the book is just I have a blog that I write called Winds of Change, and that's Winds with an E-W-E-N-D-S. And I took all the blog posts that I wrote on the Iliad as the final essay that I wrote for it, and I edited them further. I made some changes to them, made them look more like a chapter book, and then I published it using Amazon. So Amazon has a wonderful process for self-publishing, and they make it very easy to do. So,
is Amazon where you first went, or
it wasn't? I heard an advertisement for another program that this one was just focused on ebooks, and I was first deciding that maybe I was going to turn this into an ebook and set up a marketplace of some kind on my website and sell it through there, and then maybe also use Amazon. Unfortunately, the program didn't work out very well. There were a number of flaws with it. The two significant ones being that it wasn't suited for longer ebooks. Like, my book is around 200 pages. I would say this program would work really well if you're just making 10, 20 mm-hmm. page ebooks, maybe. The other big flaw is that there was no option for a blank template. You had to choose a pre-made template and try to work with that and change it and stuff. And so when I imported the Word file that I had, I had just edited to turn into a book into this program, it just made a complete mess of it. And it didn't recognize, where I separated chapter titles and subheadings. It didn't recognize any of my footnotes. It was a mess. And the biggest selling point of the program was that it was supposed to generate a table of contents for you. That was the reason why I bought it, aside from the fact that it was pretty cheap to buy. And so I just experimented with it. It's like, well, let's see what happens. And so I told it to generate a table of contents, and I ended up crashing the table of contents feature on the program. And so I'm like, okay, I don't think this program is going to work out for me for what I want to do for it. So I went on to Amazon and I downloaded their Kindle Create program, and I imported the Word file, and it recognized everything. It recognized all my chapter titles. It recognized all the subheadings. It kept all the formatting, the bold and the italics and stuff. It even recognized all the footnotes. It put all my footnotes in the back of the book, which is what I wanted, and kept the numbering. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. About the only deficiency in the Kindle Create program is it's not quite ready for lists and bullet points and stuff. You can't really edit lists and bullet points with that program yet. So if you use that program, make sure that you know, if you're importing from a Word document or something, that you have those completely squared away, that there doesn't need to be any more editing for spelling or grammar or anything like that.
Interesting. Why did you say this was the first creative thing to do? It was just because you'd had a blog on it? I mean, why did you even start the blog? What drew you to this work?
Oh, yeah. It started years before I even started the blog. I went to college and I studied history and education in college. And when I got out, I felt like my education was lacking. And there was always like this kind of, there was this desire, but also just feeling like I missed out whenever I thought about classic literature. And I wasn't quite sure what to do with it. And when I was studying education, I researched classical education. That's where, you know, you learn Latin, perhaps Greek, you go through the classics, and it can be pretty rigorous, like education for homeschooling or for private schools. And it just fueled my desire to want to read classics, but I still didn't know what to do. So fast forward a couple years, I read How to Read a Book by Mortimer Adler. It's a classic book. I highly recommend it for everyone. You should probably read the revised version with Charles Van Doren that was published in, I think, 1971 or 1972. But I read through it and he systematically goes through, like, this is how you get the most out of a book. And at the end of it, he has a list of recommended classics to read. And so I just took that list and was like, okay, I can start here. And so I started reading the books on the list. Like, you know, I read the Iliad, I read the Odyssey, I read the plays of Aeschylus, the plays of Sophocles, the plays of Euripides. I read Herodotus's histories, Thucydides' history of the Peloponnesian War, the works of Plato, the works of Hippocrates. And yeah, just kind of burning through these. And I got to Aristotle, and that was something else. I read his six books on logic, collectively called the Organon. The translation that I was reading was about 300 pages, and I got to the end of it and I realized that, like, I had barely understood anything that I had just read. And so I tried again and I couldn't make it past the first couple before I just got really frustrated. And I thought, like, okay, well, maybe it's because I didn't pay enough attention to everything else that I was reading before this point. And well, maybe I'll move on. Maybe I'll come back to the books on logic. So I tried moving on and I couldn't. And to make a long story short, I gave up. And for a couple of years, I thought about, man, I want to get back to this list. I want to get back to this list. And I never did it. And, you know, fast forward some time. And I figured, you know, if I want to go through this list, I should take better notes. And maybe I should, like, do some writing on what I read. And I had first had the idea that I was going to make videos, you know, for like YouTube or Rumble or Odyssey or anything like that. And it just wasn't happening. I had made some attempts and I had written a bunch of stuff down for the Iliad, and I just wasn't doing it. And it was around that time that I was introduced to Tom Woods, the libertarian podcaster. And he had been advertising that you can use an affiliate link of his to start your own website using Bluehost and WordPress. And so I decided to use that affiliate link, and I started building my website, and I was like, okay, I have something that I can use, and I'm going to make a blog instead of creating videos. So that's what I did. And so I began writing actual blog posts and sporadically putting them up. But it wasn't until Tom Woods started his School of Life program that I really kicked the blog into high gear. And I was also introduced to Substack. And that's what I've been using primarily to get the blog out, because Substack is so useful. You can just, like, your blog posts just get emailed to people rather than them having to go to your website. They just get sent right to your inbox. And so I'm keeping up both of them right now. And, but yeah, so it just started, to sum up, it started with me wanting to read classic literature and read all of these works that I had never gotten to in college or any time before college. And I wanted to learn from them, and I wanted to see if they could, like, transform the way that I live, transform the way that I see the world. And then I decided that this, you know, that writing a blog on them would do me a lot of good. It would help me think deeper about what I was reading, and to do as what Mortimer Adler said, like, you know, you take these works and you make them your own. And that's what I'm hoping this blog will do. It will help me take these different works that I read, no matter how difficult they are, and make them my own, like wrestle with them and have a conversation with these books and struggle through trying to understand what they're trying to say.
Well, first things first, you were not the first person to stumble on Aristotle. That's the general consensus with Aristotle. He throws a lot at you.
Yeah.
My wife is actually in a group, I think it was on Aristotle right now, and they're great books.
Oh, wow.
I'm curious, have you thought about joining any great books groups out there?
Yeah, I would like to.
My one friend does actually host a free one, so.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, more for me, it's more just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think they do like Saturdays or something at like 2 p.m, like once a week. Mm. But yeah, that's always an interesting place to start us with the classics. It's surprising how little of that we get in our life these days. Like you'd think that would be more of an interest to the modern education system. It's certainly not.
Yeah.
And it also is funny to me that you started with How to Read a Book, because that's where every classics person sends you is How to Read a Book.
Yeah, it's a great book. Like I said, I highly recommend it for anyone who wants to get started on a journey through the classics. Read it. And also, I also highly recommend On the Reading of Old Books by C.S. Lewis. It's a short essay. You can find it in his one of his essay compilations called God and the Dock.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's also public domain. So I'm sure you can just go on the internet and find it.
My wife has everything C.S. Lewis ever did, I think so.
Yeah, he's a great writer. So
he's one of the three people in history you can trust.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, him, Tolkien, and G.K. Chesterton. That's it. So
nice.
What is your goal with putting this out there? Is the, like, I mean, obviously you made the jump from a blog to actually creating it, put the elbow grease in to make an actual book. What is your goal for that book?
My primary goal is to get, with at least with Revenge and Its Discontents, my primary goal is to get people interested in reading the Iliad and to show that you, dear reader, you can read the Iliad for yourself. It's possible. It's not, it's not difficult. As long as you're willing to meet the work face to face and willing to interact with it and just persevere with it, you can read the Iliad and enjoy it. You don't need a college degree. You don't need some textbook or some professor or even me telling you, what's in the Iliad and this is how you're supposed to read it and this is what you're supposed to get from it. And you don't really need any of that.
There's never really been agreement on a lot of that anyway. It's part of the great books process is the arguing back and forth for years.
Yeah, and I like thinking of all of these works, all these great works, as part of a great conversation that you start at one point and they build off of each other, and it's these different works engaging with the world, perhaps engaging with each other. But yeah, that was just like what I wanted to get through, is that this is an incredible work, the Iliad. There's much that you can learn from it, despite being almost 3,000 years old. It's still as relevant today as it was back then, in terms of its themes, whether it's revenge, war, leadership, both its failures and successes, and patriotism, things like that. There's much to be had in it. And I hope that it will pique people's interest and that they would pick up the Iliad for themselves. And there's a lot of great modern translations, and there's also a lot of great public domain translations. I use the Samuel Butler translation, even though it uses the Latin names for the gods and some of the characters. It's probably the easiest public domain translation out there to read. So, if you mm-hmm. have no money, start with the Samuel Butler translation. But that's primarily what I wanted to get out of the book and also the blog.
Okay. And I guess to the end and like reaching your goal, getting more people to kind of take on this challenge and realize it's perhaps not the challenge they thought it was, at least until Aristotle. What are you doing to kind of promote yourself and promote your book? How's that working out for you? That's the part I care about the most personally.
Yeah, honestly, not very well. I am not very good at promoting myself. I signed up for social media accounts. I didn't, and many of which I had never used before a few months ago. It was, I didn't have a Twitter account until June of this year. And I've been learning a lot about that. a lot about the promotion process and experimenting with different things, seeing what works and what doesn't work, like, you know, what hashtags may work. Should I write something pithy or something that, you know, that has a hook, or should I just quote directly from the text? And I think the one thing that I have gotten out of promotion is perseverance, to just keep at it every day. And if you do, then eventually it's going to start paying off. Like you're going to build a presence.
That's what they say about overnight success. It's only overnight if you weren't doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I've noticed. Like all these different content creators that I've come to enjoy, they just seem to come out of nowhere. And then you start looking into them a little bit, or maybe you start hearing their backstory, and it's like, no, they didn't just come out of nowhere. They have this long history of trying to make it. And even maybe before they were a content creator, they were doing something else that was building their character, that was building their will to succeed, that was building their skills set. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's often not the case that success just happens overnight. It only may seem that way, but that's just because after, you know, so much work was put into it, they had a breakthrough.
It's critical mass.
The critical mass. They had a breakthrough and they were launched onto the scene. And yeah, so that's something I try to take to heart, is just, you know, incremental, little by little, you know, work toward my goal. But I met with you the other day and I learned some very valuable things about promotion, and I've talked with some other people and they've given me some resources about how to better present myself to the wider public. And I'm in the very, very beginning stages of learning how to promote myself, and I hope to get much better at it and to learn from even more people and more resources about how to do it. So
right on. Well, I guess the big question is, so what's next for you? Are you going to continue with the blog? Are you moving on to something else? Are you working on another book?
Oh yeah.
Are you just kind of continued working out, worried about this one right now?
Oh no. Yeah. No, the blog is still going along. I'm currently going through The Odyssey, and that's the next book on the list. My post for book 6 of The Odyssey, the Iliad and the Odyssey, rather than chapters, they have books. So chapter 6, book 6 of The Odyssey, my post on it just dropped. And I'm planning on doing pretty much the same exact thing. I'm going to write a blog post on each book of The Odyssey, and then I'm going to write a final essay on it. And then I'm going to take all of those and further edit them and turn them into a book.
Right on. Well, we'll have to be on the lookout for that. And I'd like to thank you so much for coming on and talking about the process with us today, because I think a lot of people are afraid to go out and make the thing that they want to make because it's going to be hard, or they don't understand how to do it. And the one thing I want this show to do is to help elucidate to people, kind of light a path and say it's way less complicated than you think it is. And more importantly, it's more rewarding than I think you probably even think it is when you're starting out.
Yeah. And if I can make three final points on that. First of all, the Kindle Create program is very easy to use. It's very user-friendly and it has a lot of options. So don't worry too much about whether you're going to get lost in using that program. It's very easy to use. The second point is that understand that if you're dealing with Amazon's customer service through so Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP, is what you use to publish your books. And just understand that their customer service is about 12 to 24 hours behind what happens in real time. And that was one of the struggles I had. Like publishing the ebook version was fine. Like it went through without any issue. But publishing the paperback version was a little more frustrating. And so like something would happen on my KDP page regarding the paperback, and I would have no idea what's going on. And then like 12 hours later, the next day, oh, hey, by the way, we're concerned about this book because of X, Y, and Z. Can you provide like more details? So I would do that. And then like the status of my book would update again to like basically being blocked. And I'm like, what is going on? I just told them, like, I just showed them proof that I'm, you know, I'm who I say I am. And so eventually all got resolved. I just had to wait some time. Mm-hmm. And so if you're having issues with that, just give them time, like wait about 24 hours before, you know, after responding to them and, you know, showing them like, yeah, you know, like answering their questions or addressing their concerns, wait about 24 hours before you start freaking out and trying to, you know, demand some real answers and stuff.
Okay.
The final thing, if you are someone that wants to publish your own work, whether it's a blog, whether it's video, podcast, a book, and you're apprehensive about it, one thing that helped me keep things in perspective is about 1.3 billion people on Earth are English readers. Of those 1.3 billion people, you are going to be able to find that, you know, that 100, that 1,000, that 10,000 people that are going to look at your content and they're going to like what they see and they're going to want to follow you and they're going to want to give of their money or give of their time and to encourage you to keep going. But you're not going to find those 100 or 1,000 people unless you put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take time and it's going to take patience and it's going to take perseverance, but it's going to happen. You just have to keep through it and just understand that, you know, to use the cliche, that you're not going to please everyone. It doesn't matter how open you are, how kind you are, how funny you are, or anything like that. There are going to be people who are just not going to like you or like what you do. And you're just going to have to accept that. And because there is going to be, you know, like I said, 1.3 billion English readers, it'll be very easy to find 100 or 1,000 of them that will like what you do. And once you find those people, then what does it matter what some other random person over there thinks about what you do?
Mm-hmm.
So
right on. Well, once again, thank you so much for coming on here, Andronicus or Travis, whichever one you want to go by today. Thank you so much. For everyone else out there, hope you pick something up.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Do you fancy yourself the next Tolkien, Lewis, or Barker? Maybe you just have something subversive to say. Hopefully this podcast is helping you. But maybe your ambitions are just a little bigger than you can handle on your own. Head over to ironagemarketing.com and let Nikki P. help ensure your book doesn't release to nobody.